Welcome to Cardslingers, coming to you coast to coast.
Hi, I'm Jamie Elford from Portland, Oregon, representing the West Coast.
I'm Melissa Sonova, speaking to you from the Midwest here in St. Louis.
And I'm Hillary, the New Yorker.
We're going to talk about what we like about the cards.
And what we don't like.
What we're learning.
And what we're teaching.
It's all about slinging them cards.
Let's do our best.
Let's find out the sexual innuendo, the double entendres. Absolutely. Oh, wait, we're recording. I stand by it.
Yeah. So
awesome professionals.
Well, that's why I started recording. I tried to catch y'all and I did. Ha ha. No. God. So we're recording this in January and fuck January. This January sucked for me, for Jamie.
Just
5 days of power outages. Yeah.
Garbage.
Lots of fun.
Yeah.
So, but
it was just garbage.
Well,
I think Mercury was on her period like the whole fucking time
or something. Mm-hmm. All I know is that the only good day was Kendra's birthday, and I'm not going to mention the date, but she's a Capricorn. So her birthday was fun.
Yay.
But because of this, we decided, and we're not, I don't know. I mean, we're all motivated to talk, but we weren't sure what we were going to talk to you all about. So we decided to reach into the inbox, and Hillary came up with a great idea to do some, we're going to read off some emails and hopefully they're from a female.
Yeah.
It's not from a female.
Nah. this first one might be. They have a feminine presenting name. But Hillary had the great idea of doing rapid fire answers. So we're going to start at 2021. Sorry, Susie. I'm going to read them out and then we'll kind of do some rapid fire answers. And hopefully if any of you need more clarification on the messages, just remessage. Sure. And
yeah, write on it again.
Yeah,
sure.
Write on that you want more detail.
Yeah. And in 3 years, we'll totally get back to you.
Or sooner.
That's our turnaround time, by the way.
Depending.
Your call is important to us.
Your call is important to us. Please hold while we ignore you for 3 solid calendar years.
Hopefully you enjoyed the music or the silence. Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay, so this one was from
the girl from Ipanema.
We're gonna get sued. Stop it.
Sorry.
Well, at least it's not Toto's Africa.
That's true.
Go on. Uh-oh. I think Hillary's got a story there, but we'll wait until
I do.
Recording.
Let's not record that. It's about an ex. Never mind.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
It's okay.
So Susie writes in, "Hi, Cardslingers. As someone who is fascinated by tarot, I really enjoy listening to your podcast." Oh, thank you. And again, sorry it took us forever, hearts, to answer this. Question for you all. God, it's early and my mouth is not willing to enunciate yet. Are there any cards that you straight up disagree with the description list in the little white book? And how did you discover the meaning it had for you? And I believe I think we've answered this in a previous podcast, but I figured I would bring it up because it's a star in my inbox. So who wants to quickly just kind of like summarize this one?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Please elaborate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the moon card. I think I think that my interpretation of the moon card is more right than everybody else. It's the best.
Well, I disagree with Melissa there, and because she's talking out of her ass, and all of my decks, all the 20 little white booklets I have written are all correct.
They're obviously all correct.
Every single one. Yeah. No.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, really, it's Hillary. Hillary's the master.
Oh, thank you. So why do you disagree with the so what is like the traditional booklet depiction of the moon card and how do you see it, Melissa?
I think the little white books are there to teach us the basics. And I think that my understanding of the cards has gone past basic since I've been fucking with them for nigh on to 35 years now.
It's been a while. Again, let's not get sued, but
yeah. But I think that it's a naive, and not in a bad way. I think that little white books are a naive approach to the card because you don't know enough and you're not informed enough about the universe of the cards to give it that deeper, I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
Subtlety or nuance?
Yeah,
or
nuance. Yeah. Sure.
That'll work. For me, it's all about a snapshot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at my first LWB to the most recent LWB, people have actually tracked a progression of like my writing style or my depth over, you know, the 10 years or something. So like adding to what Melissa was saying is that, you know, LWBs are, you know, at least the way I wrote them were for that deck at hand, whatever first bubbled up at that moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
So you have to tailor each of them to the
world
storyline, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, so all of them are great and all of them suck. You know, it depends on who you're talking to.
I think that that's true. I think it's true because I would rely really heavily on the books that I got with my decks until I probably was up to like my 20th deck that I owned and used and studied. And then I just didn't bother it. So, but I think some of them were way over my head, some of the books, and some of them were super pedestrian. And, but all of them taught me something until I just didn't need that anymore. Right. So I think that what you said, all of them are great, all of them are stupid. But it depends on who you are and where you are in your studies. So. Right.
I really wanted to, like, it was funny, I was looking over some of my notes on my computer, and I apparently started writing my first book like 2 years before I was contracted to write it.
Nice.
So I was looking into my notes, and it's just like, and it's labeled in a folder called Tarot Book. Funnily enough, because I'm not great at naming things. And one of the things that I wrote in the mock introduction was, you know, I'm sure you're looking for a book that has all of the rote meanings or whatever. And it's just like, this is not that book. And then I ended up writing that kind of book because that's what a lot of publishers seek out. There, you can, it's really, really hard to find a tarot book that does not include keywords and interpretations in it. So maybe for my second book, that it will not be that kind of book. But and, I mean, it's a necessary tool, I think. But like, then you're supposed to grow beyond that tool.
Well,
right?
That's like, I've seen people that recently in a, again, as this episode, the end of January, a Facebook group posted a screenshot of a little white book that somebody wrote for a deck. And they said they didn't agree with the name of the card and what it meant, and there weren't any keywords, and they were really disgruntled about that. And it's weird. It's like, you know, when people, I think it was Teresa that said it, tell me what the cards mean, right? You know, when we read for people, they want to know what the card, excuse me, burp, when the people, what they say, what the cards say and what they mean. And I think keywords are those many definitions that can be applied. But like when I started out, I was overwhelmed by just seeing fucking keyword after keyword after keyword. You know, I wanted to know the story behind it. I'm like, how do you know when to pick the right keyword if you get 15 of them for one card? And that that honestly almost turned me off back when I was 13. But then again, I also didn't understand the nuances of tarot at that point because I was too young.
And the thing about like our little white books, when you buy your first deck, you get a book with it, right? That's part of the bonus of getting tarot is your teacher is right next to your cards and you get them in one package. So that's your little white book is your very first tarot teacher. Unless you're like me and you got it from a dude who lost his book. That's just fine. But, but you know, that's many people's very first teacher is that little white book. And it's reliable in that it starts painting the skeleton of what we know tarot to be. So it has to be somewhat elementary. And it also has to be nuanced to the deck, or older readers will just go, okay. So, but yeah, I think that they're necessary tools.
Yeah. And also stupid.
For sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. This next one is from Kelly, and it's an ethics question. Hello. Oh, shit. Hello, I recently discovered your podcast and I'm really enjoying it. Love all the different viewpoints and opinions and advice. Again, thank you, Kelly, and sorry this took forever. I've been reading tarot.
Thank you for being our 22nd listener.
Yep. Here we go. I've been reading tarot for family and friends and myself for about 4 years now, and I've really ramped up my study and practice. By this time, it's 7 years. The question I have is it ethical to ask the tarot about my loved ones without telling them I'm going to do so? For instance, if a friend is entering a new relationship and I want to know if the boyfriend is on the up and up, I will sometimes do a reading for it on my own information, peace of mind. Is this meddlesome? I don't think they would mind one way or the other, but sometimes I feel like a bossy Virgo bitch. Ha! The coast-to-coast take on this matter would be much appreciated and keep on slinging. Thank you for this. Who wants to start?
Oh, yeah, you're being feelings. A little controlling. Yeah. So I don't think it's necessarily wrong, especially if it's just like, if you're close to that person and you want to see how that relationship will affect you, sure. But I feel like you have to sit in the seat of, you know, how will this affect me rather than being nosy about it? Like, that's how I usually do readings about my own love life, where because my husband has strong feelings. So it's like, I don't want your reading on our relationship. And I'm just like, that's fair. You know, it's just like, it's not easy to be married to a tarot reader. It's not easy to be in a relationship with a professional reader. And it's just like, but have I done readings on how to approach my marriage or make my marriage better? Absolutely. Because that's more of, from my perspective, what can I do to make this relationship better rather than being nosy and trying to intuit what he's thinking. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, Melissa, you said you had feelings.
I think it's invasive. I think it's very invasive. And I, as far as the ethics of it, like, you do what you want, you know. But in my opinion, it's no different than using like a telephoto lens in somebody's, you know, shaded backyard. It's no different than that, or eavesdropping. And I don't like people who do that because it's sneaky and I don't care for sneakiness. So,
yeah, if you feel some kind of way about it, like as you're asking, like even in the asking of this question, it's just like you kind of know it's not great, right? So, well,
and see, and I straddle the line because my first magical instructor back in the 90s, she would, you know, she confided in me one day that she does do readings on like her students. You know, I don't know if she still does that like with me because it's like 20, 30 years later. But, you know, she occasionally will, you know, pick up the cards, do a quick reading just to see how people are doing. And then it depends on like what Hillary, you know, said, what you do with that information. But I think if you're just, you know, taking a peek just to, you know, kind of either do like random questions that you might already know the answer about to your friends to practice your readings and your structure. Or if you ask them, you know, I mean, another thing you could do before you even do it is just ask permission. Hey, is it okay if I, you know, use the cards to peek in every now and then, you know, do you want, and then, you know, secondly, do you want to know what they're saying, or do you want me to just kind of keep it inside and, you know, only use it as like, you know,
a teaching tool for my
fodder for your next fight. Oh my God. I love it. But yeah. You know, it's, I personally have never done that. Like, even when my family members ask me for readings, I will read for them. But the moment, like there was a time where they turned to my dad and they were like, dad, Max, do the reading, you know, have Jamie read your cards. I put my cards away. They were like, why? And I'm like, he doesn't want a reading, you guys. And I'm not going to give her, again, that whole idea of consent. I'm not going to read for somebody that doesn't want it. So, I mean, some of it can be consensual. Some of it can be, if it's just for your own purpose, go for it, you know? But again, if you're using it to affect your friendship or the outcome of their own free will, that's the danger zone, the red card zone. Mm-hmm.
A question I get a lot from my clients is, is my boyfriend or ex ex person, are they still with them? And I'm like, ooh, that's none of your business. And it doesn't matter how you phrase it. You know, is he happy with them? You know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's still none of your damn business. So I don't look backwards like that. I look backwards for the person, but I don't like latch onto their ex and figure out what the hell. Because that's, first of all, tacky, but also choices. Like, what's that going to do to my energy? What's that going to do to my ethic?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know,
because every time you take a foot as a tarot reader, you take a foot off that line. You know, every time you do that, it gets easier. A harder to get back on. Yeah.
It gets easier to go that way and harder to get back on track. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. And also you'll find as you're learning these different skills that you will have no shortage of guinea pigs. So like ask, would you like
to read? I love that. I would not have thought, Jamie, just to ask the couple, do you mind if I peek in on you? Because that's free couple of tarot readings for like quarterly. Mm-hmm. And if you bill and write, that's some change. So it's a good idea.
But I mean, well, it's also, again, you know, we talk idea about consent. Self. Yeah, it's it's consent, it's boundaries. And, you know, those are important. You know, like I said, I don't, you know, like, God, when my dad, about the time my dad passed or was really sick with cancer and, you know, like he had a basic, you know, I think he was in his second or, you know, that last year of his life, I wanted to read cards so much around that. And yet I didn't because I didn't want to go there. You know, I didn't want my highly charged emotions to go there. And I remember sitting with Mary Greer, you know, our friend Mary, and asking her, like, when you're grieving for someone, do you use the cards? How do you use the cards around that? And she told me some things that maybe we'll get into this at a later episode, but it was very helpful because I had stopped using the cards for a little bit when I was dealing with dad's passing and stuff because I didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, you'll know when it's, you know, consensual, when it's good, when it's not. When it's, you know, a personal reading that you want to do for yourself just to make sure your friend's going to be okay, but don't let it color the reading. Don't let it get in the way of their free will because that's the danger zone.
Yeah. Know where you're centering your reading, I guess, is the shortest answer that we could possibly give for that
word.
Where are you centering
your reading? If it makes your tummy hurt, don't do it. this is basic witchcraft. If it makes your stomach hurt, do it. That means Alrighty. Something's amiss.
I have one right here from that we got through our Insta.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So this is actually back from November. I'm not sure if we answered this or not. Probably not. But let's do it, and then we can probably expand upon it on a later episode. This is from Anna Rose. Hey, Card Slingers, love your podcast so much. Thank you. And have been looking for your email and can't find it. It's cardslingerscc@gmail.com if you want to ask us questions. Or you can just send them via our Insta, which is cardslingerscc as well. I have a podcast question. I have been learning the tarot for a while, reading books, practicing with the cards. With my original deck, I have the Sacred Rose Tarot. Lately, I've been thinking it might be useful to have a second deck to learn from or use as a reference or resource for my first deck. Do you have any general recommendations for types of decks that are useful? I'm overwhelmed by all the options. You all rule. Thank you for your awesome podcast. Thank you for your question.
That's very sweet.
Welcome to the club. Very cool.
23 listeners.
Sacred Rose Tarot is really, really nice. I would say my quick answer is anything RWS based. If there is a story in the Minor Arcana, that is what I would generally recommend as a reference or resource because it's very, very hard when you're starting to read what five wands on a plain background mean. Unless you have the vision of the RWS five people fighting over five fucking sticks.
Yes, exactly. And then the caption that says stupid tent.
Oh my God, that's my favorite. That's my favorite meme about that card. I tell people this is the stupid tent card.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a stupid tent card. There's one. The assembled tarot. Is that it?
Tarot disassembled.
Tarot disassembled, which I think is going to be kind of a must-have deck for new readers because it breaks it down literally to color and symbol, and it's all separated. So you can see, oh, this is five, and here's a crown, and here's a cup, and you know, here's a fish. And here are all the things associated with the King of Cups. And it breaks it down to elemental level almost. It's really cool. But I think that would be such a great deck. Like I'm working with artists and one of them is a tarot reader and the other is not. And I gave them each a copy of this deck. And I'm like, okay, this is the vibe. Yeah. This is the position from RWS. And then they can do the art bit.
Yeah, no, I concur. I didn't even think about Jennifer Steidley's Tarot Disassembled, which you can get on Etsy. And it's also coming out mass market either this year or next year. So that'll be awesome.
Oh, right. But, good for her.
Yeah, I looked up your deck. The deck looks really pretty. I can see why you were drawn to it. And I agree with both Hillary and Melissa. Tarot Disassembled is great. Getting a Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the basic deck, the training wheel deck, is a good addition. Or getting a Thoth-based deck, you know, the other side of the coin, depending on what set of groupings, you know, you learn from. Like I learned with Rider-Waite-Smith. And like you, I didn't buy that deck first. I didn't like that deck first. Although I've got other things like Jamie Sawyer's RWS is another
beautiful.
It's another fun one. It's really one that I love to use rather than the standard RWS Rider-Waite-Smith. However, if you're drawn to like the Crowley side of things where strength and justice are reversed, that would be another good learning and comparison and contrast deck that you can get. In my book, I talk about matrices where you take like the majors from all your decks. So you can put your Sacred Rose down and then get your secondary deck, the learning or the contrast deck. And then you can see where things are similar and where they're different, which is kind of interesting because not all Rider-Waite-Smith decks or, you know, ones based off of that are based off of it. Some people will take some of Crowley's ideas and throw it into it. So it's kind of, I do recommend like the mini decks. You can get a mini Rider-Waite-Smith, you can get a mini Thoth, and it makes it easy for you. Yeah. Hillary's holding the Reflective Tarot, which is one of her favorite. Mini. Rider-Waite-Smiths. Yeah. It's a mini.
Or really? Because like, it looks normal in your little hands.
Enough. We started the year with this. Really? I have small hands. I get it. I
seriously thought it was a normal box. Your little tiny
God, I hate you. God. But okay, yeah, go on. You can get the smaller size decks that you can either lay on top of your cards to kind of, you know, see that a little bit better or to compress the space it takes up on the floor or a table with with all the space. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the way you picked a deck and the way that I would that I learned is I picked one that I would love. And then I had to get a secondary for that purpose. And another benefit of having a secondary is if you ever want to start doing like spell work or ritual work with it, you'll have that extra deck because like in my book, Tarot Inspired Life, I talk about how you can set up rituals and spells. And in some cases, you'll need to keep that out until you get the spell.
Completed. Yeah, until the spell
and,
manifests.
Yeah. Yep. And that could be a year, could be two. I mean, I've got a year long ritual there. And if you use, your primary deck, you're not playing with a full set of cards when you read for folks. So
with the full deck.
Yeah, I get accused of that all the time, not playing with the full deck.
I think all of us. I know my brain isn't playing with a full one,
Me too.
But yeah,
it's like a squirrel eating peanuts in there. There's just nothing else going on.
Another good deck is the Simple Tarot, which is specifically designed for learning. So there's the Simple Tarot, and it actually, there was two versions of it. I'm not sure if there's two versions now, one with keywords on it and one without. So nice. That would be a good recommendation as well, the Simple Tarot. So.
God, what a great question. Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, again, and if you decide you don't want any of those, just get another one that you like and then do a comparison and contrast. You know, I mean.
I always judge the book by its cover. Always. When it comes to tarot cards. I always do.
Yes.
If the cover doesn't sell it, then I'm like, eh. Find something that makes you excited.
Yay. Do you have another question, Katie?
Sorry, well, we've got a lot.
Do we
of
have
questions.
Another one? Huh?
We got about 10. All right. So this one's by our friend
Let's do
Heidi.
One more.
Okay. Heidi Phelps from the Black Violet Tarot.
Yay. Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of good
decks, geez.
Yes. Well, we'll put Heidi's deck, the Black Violet Tarot, in the show notes. Hey, Melissa, Hillary, and Jamie. I've been loving the podcast and learning a lot. Again, thank you for listening, Heidi, and thank you for doing awesome art and decks. I have a question for you about tarot card readings. I've only really read for myself, and whenever I tried to read for other people with my deck, now, we're talking about the Black Violet deck or any deck here. That's the question I want to know from you, if you could respond. I feel like I'm, quote unquote, still getting readings that apply to me, not the person I'm reading for. It's like I'm all over that deck. That being said, I've only done virtual readings for people so far, all friends to get practice. So they're not physically there shuffling the deck. Is this a thing? Am I making it up? Am I doing something wrong? Any advice would be helpful.
Is this a thing? Yes. Am I doing something wrong? Possibly, but also but possibly yes, possibly no. And what was the third?
is this a thing? Am I making it up? Am I doing something wrong?
Okay. So is this a thing? Yes. Am I making it up? No. Am I doing something wrong? Possibly yes, possibly no. But I think possibly. All of us... I think all of us have had those type of readings where it's just like, is this for the client or is this for me or is this booked?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes so you do have, all of and your sometimes readings are like that.
Right. And sometimes all of you. Well, on my live stream, on my weekly live stream, like I know that the people watching thoroughly enjoy when the cards come for me. So I don't know if that's like a little bit of, you know, vicarious living or just, you know, enjoying, like I'm funny when I'm being tortured by my cards or I don't know.
I think you are.
Okay. All right. Great. Pick on Hillary. Why don't you? But yeah, no, it's a real thing. You're not making it up. And sometimes it could be that you're too close to the reading and you need to start separating it out. Or it could be, yes, the message is for you. And yes, the message is for your client. So I don't know. Any other? And of course, Kat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Is this a thing? Yes, definitely it's a thing. Are you making it up? I don't think so. I mean,
no.
I mean, in a way, all tarot, you know, is kind of quote unquote
everything.
Made it up. You know, it's all
everything
made up.
Everywhere is made
everything,
up.
Everything, yeah. Words are made up. Words is hard. Tarot is hard. Am I doing something wrong? I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, I agree with Hillary. There are times where readings, when you read for others, there's always that, you know, when you're speaking from the higher... mind or, you know, from that place that we get all the ideas, you know, you start realizing, oh shit, this is for me too. Fuck. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just make the mental note and then read for the person like it was them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But again, sometimes it could be the deck. I mean, if it is your Black Violet Tarot, it could be that you're too close to your own deck to use it for other people. You know, in some ways where, that's why I asked what do you mean by what deck? Because, right. You know,
yeah,
you,
I can't write with my deck. The, it's the one that I worked on with Maggie Stiefvater.
Scorpio,
Scorpio C.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful and I love it. And it's very meaningful to me because it has like the kids are in it. My dad's in it. My friend Dawn, my friend, like it's got my people throughout it, you know? And I can't read with it because I'm like, this is, oh, it's my dad. Oh, God damn it. It's because I'm too close to it. Yeah, I'm too close to like, I advised on it. I helped the cards come together, you know, and Maggie is, she's a tarot writer and an artist. So she could handle this on her own trust, but I love working with her. And part of that was comparing our tarot knowledge and seeing where the other one was at and what came of that. It was really cool. And it's a really cool deck, but I can't use it because I'm too familiar with it.
Yeah, so
I mean, you can buy the Scorpio Sea Tarot and
cha-ching.
But exactly. I mean, yeah, I for me, I guess what I want to, I guess the homework I have for you, Heidi, is if you haven't done this already, because again, I'm sorry, it's been a couple of years, is have you tried using a different deck, or have you tried seeing which decks work for like other readings versus self versus like magic uses? For me, there are decks out there. This is why I do a daily draw with new decks for a month, because there are decks out there that might just be for yourself or might be for one specific situation or are good for all purpose general readings or queer readings, et cetera, where, you know, if you spend a month working with one, you know, a new deck or a deck, you can kind of understand where or what audience you or how you're going to use that deck. I have a deck called the Writer's Block Tarot, which I wanted to use for writers. And it's a great deck, but there's no way I'm going to be able to read for others with it because I have to use the book because it's so different than a Rider-Waite-Smith structure, a Thoth system. It's its own agnostic system. And it's just too complicated for reading with others. And sorry about the background noise. My cats are running all over my desk and everywhere. But yeah, so, I mean, again, figure out which, you know, if it's the Black Violet Tarot, I mean, you might be too close to use it for other people. It might be your purpose deck. If it's another deck, try switching maybe to the Black Violet and, you know, and stuff. But yeah, keep making stuff because, oh, wow.
Yes,
your
please.
Instagram's amazing. Yeah. So thank you for writing in. And sorry.
I'm like, my flabber is gasted that.
We're that, fangirling. Straight up.
Flabby.
Straight up.
Fangirling. My flabber is gasted. And that's, you know, Jamie's process with like, with a deck and doing a card of the day poll over a month with a new deck. That's what I do before I put any of my decks into the rotation with use for clients. I'm getting to know a deck for at least a month before I put it into the rotation, unless I feel compelled or unless it's specifically requested by a client. And then I'm always very clear. It's just like, hey, I've just gotten this. I've been working with this, you know. So I haven't done the intake process, as it were, for that deck yet. That. Do you still want to proceed? And then there's some decks that I'm just like, oh, this is not going into the rotation with clients, like you were saying about the Writer's Block Tarot, like the Mary L. Tarot. I don't use that with clients because it is just too deep, too fast. And I feel like I would destroy someone's soul if I use that particular deck.
I'll swallow your soul.
Same thing
dark,
with like,
man.
Yeah. And the witch sister tarot that I've been using, over the past month, like, well, hot damn. That might not get into the general rotation either. Though people do like its tendency to go for this road, you know, to tell the truths that you're not necessarily wanting to hear or willing to face. So
now I
want
a reading with it.
What? Yeah. Like,
I've been reading
that's
with
exactly.
That deck, but now I want you to give me a reading. Let's swap.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. It's just like, oh shit. Like I'm like it's that meme. Some of the things you're experiencing are your fault. And it's just like, oh fuck.
Shuffle again, motherfucker.
Shuffle again.
Shake it like it's an eight ball, see what falls out of your deck.
Exactly.
Exactly. Better
shake that like a Polaroid picture because you are incorrect.
Should we do one more question, or I think that's a good place to stop?
I think it's a good place to stop. Let's do this again though, because it was super fun.
Totally. Awesome. Thank you all for writing in. Thank you for your eternal patience for us to get back to you. But, you know, in the past couple of years, with COVID and illnesses and power outages, it, you know, often gets hard for us to remember. Plus, you know, with all the ideas we come up with, the crazy cool ideas, it's, you know, it's a scheduling thing, right?
We'll do this. Let's do this once every 2 or 3 months or so. It'll be fun.
Okay.
Totally. That way we can knock them all out.
Word.
Exactly.
But yeah, keep on sending them in. We do look. We do love and honor all of our, what are we up to now? 25, 30, 40 listeners.
Maybe 70.
Maybe 70.
Ooh. 77 Ooh. Instead of 7.
And, hold on. And yep. And we have, three more episodes to number 100. So we might be doing something interesting. Maybe I'll just hint. But
Tuned.
Stay tuned. Keep writing. Send feedback to cardslingercc@gmail.com or the Instagram the gram of Insta at cardslingercc. And we love you all.
Thank you so much for joining us at Cardslingers Coast to Coast. You can check out more episodes at cardslingerscc.podbeam.com. And please send us your questions at cardslingerscc@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.